said Clinch. Excuse me, Mr. Taufari.
Levental blinked, seeing Taufari for the first time. You must have gone down to the wreck, he said. Find anything?
Taufari did not like to be addressed with condescension, as though he belonged to a servile class. Nor could he forgive Lerventhal for having shamed him earlier that day.
No, he replied scornfully. Nothing.
Pity, said Lerventhal, already turning away.
What's on your mind, Ben?
Said Clinch, when they were alone.
It's an indelicate question, I'm afraid, said Lerventhal. About the child of Annas, the baby that never came to term.
All right, said Clinch cautiously.
You recall the night I found her, after the dust-up with Carver?
Of course.
That was the night she confessed that Carver was the child's father.
Yes, I remember.
I would like to know whether you knew that fact already, or whether, like me, you heard that confession for the first time that evening,
Lerventhal said.
You will please forgive my indelicacy and the impertinence of the subject in question.
Clinch was silent for a long time.
No, he said at last, that was the first time she spoke of it. She kept mum on the subject until that night.
But did you have an inkling? Lerventhal pressed.
Some idea.
Were you of the opinion, perhaps, that Carver might have been the sire?
Clinch looked uncomfortable.
It was some fellow from Dunedin days, he said. That's all I knew. It wasn't a Hokitika chap. The months didn't match up.
And Carver knew Anna in Dunedin.
She came over on Godspeed, Clinch said shortly. Beyond that, I couldn't tell you. What's this in aid of?
Lerventhal explained what had happened in the office of the West Coast Times that afternoon.
Anna might not have been telling the truth, you see. She might have been spinning us a line. Of course, we never had reason to doubt her word. Until now.
Clinch scowled.
But who else could it be, if not Carver?
Lerventhal pursed his lips.
I don't know, he said. Any number of men, I suppose. Perhaps it's no one we know.
This is just Carver's word against Anna's, Clinch said hotly. You aren't taking Carver's part on the strength of a single declaration. Any man can deny a thing, you know. It doesn't cost a man a penny to deny a thing.
I'm not taking eyes apart yet, Lerventhal said, but I do think that the timing of Anna's confession could be significant. Perhaps.
Frowning, Clinch reached up to stroke the side of his face. As he did so, Lerventhal caught the spice of his cologne and realized that Clinch must have paid for a scented shave at the barbershop, rather than the penny lather that was the standing order of most Hokitika men, a guess that was further confirmed when Clinch moved his hand and Lerventhal saw a reddish spray of irritation upon the man's soft cheeks. Discreetly, Lerventhal looked the hotelier up and down. Clinch's jacket had been brushed, and his collar starched. The shirt he was wearing seemed very white, and the toes of his boots were freshly blackened.
Oh, Lerventhal thought with pity, he made himself handsome for Anna.
So she only named the father after the child was dead,
Clinch said at last, and in a very harsh voice.
That's a whore's honour. That's all it is.
Perhaps you're right, Lerventhal said, more kindly. Let's drop the subject.
Mr. Walter Moody, Mrs. Lydia Wells, said Gascoigne. Mr. Moody is come to Hokitika from Scotland, Mrs. Wells, to make his fortune in the gorge. Mrs. Wells, as you will know, Mr. Moody, is the mistress of this establishment and a great enthusiast of realms.
Lydia made a very pretty curtsy, and Moody a short but respectful bow. Moody then paid the necessary compliments to his hostess, thanking her very nicely for the evening's entertainment, and praising her renovations of the old hotel. Despite his best efforts, the compliments came out very flat.
When he looked at her, he thought only of Lauderback and Crosby Wells. When he had finished speaking, she said, "Do you have an interest in the occult, Mr. Moody?" A question which Moody could not answer honestly without risking offence. He paused only a moment, however, before replying, "There are many things that are yet arcane to me, Mrs. Wells, and I hope that I am a curious man. If I am interested in those truths that are yet unknown, it is only so that they might in time be made known, or to put it more plainly, so that in time I might come to know them."
"You are wonderfully free with one verb, I notice," the widow returned. "What does it mean for you, Mr. Moody, to know something? I fancy you put rather a lot of stock in knowing, judging from the way you speak."
Moody smiled. "Why," he said, "I suppose that to know a thing is to see it from all sides."
"To see it from all sides,"
the widow repeated. "But I confess you catch me off guard. I've not spent any time working on the definition, and should not like to hear it quoted back to me. At least, not until I've spent some time thinking about how I might defend it."
"No," the widow agreed. "Your definition leaves much to be desired. There are so many exceptions to the rule. How could one possibly see a spirit from all sides, for example? The notion is incredible."
Moody gave another short bow. "You're quite right to name that as an exception, Mrs. Wells. But I'm afraid I do not believe a spirit can be known at all by anyone, and I certainly do not believe a spirit can be seen. I do not mean to impugn your talents in the slightest, but there it is. I do not believe in spirits, categorically."
"And yet you applied for a ticket to the séance this evening," the widow pointed out.
"My curiosity was piqued."
"By the particular spirit in question, perhaps?"
"Mr. Staines?" Moody shrugged. "I've never met the man. I arrived in Hokitika some fortnight after he disappeared. But since then I've heard his name many times, of course."
"Mr. Gascoigne says that you have come to Hokitika to make your fortune."
"Yes, so I hope."
"And how will you make it?"
"By dint of hard work and good planning, I expect."
"Of course, there are many rich men who work little and plan nothing at all."
"Those men are lucky," Moody said.
"Do you not wish to be lucky also?"
"I wish to be able to call myself deserving of my lot," Moody said carefully. "Luck is by nature."